Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
It is the Central Rappahannock Regional Library in this morning. Always good information and a lot to talk about this morning. Tracy McPeck is here, the Adult Services Coordinator, is here along with Sarah Smethurst, the Youth Services Librarian and the Teen Specialist at the Howell Library. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to have you here. So is there a change? For so many months, we talked about summer reading and what a big thing that is. I guess with fall, people come into the library for different things. And I guess especially for you, Sarah, with families coming in, kids coming in and looking for things over the summer, now that kind of changes. They might be more so, I guess, looking for things that they need for school projects.
That's true. I mean, summer reading, there's the minute the kids go back to school, there's a huge difference in the feel of the library, because summer reading is very full on and we have people all day for tons of different reasons. It gets a little sad and lonely once the kids go back to school. I have to adjust my schedule, but then I get to see them all after school, like on a more regular basis. So that's fun too.
So do people use the library a lot for families for projects that they're doing for research for school or things like that?
Yeah, absolutely. The library has a lot of like research databases as well, of course, as print materials that you can use for research. But even just having like a space where it's easier to focus on a big project, or having a librarian nearby that can help you with that research, is all very, very helpful. So yeah, I do a lot of homework support, as I like to think of it.
For you, Tracy, with Adult Services, do people, especially as it starts to get colder out, do people come in, and I guess adults come in for different reasons, but when it gets colder, maybe they do read longer books or more complicated things or not?
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. I feel like summertime is really busy, and so that's when you tend to do the light, beachy type reads, and maybe not as much as you would curl up and read in the fall. And another nice thing about getting into the fall season is that we always have so many great classes and events that people can attend. So if you want to connect with people in a space that's cozy and warm, the library is a great place to do that, whether it's a book group or, you know, we have a loosely knit knitters group. We have all sorts of things.
And there are all kinds of activities. If you go look on Facebook pages is great for information on things coming up, or those Friday
lunch and learn. Yes, those are on Fridays on Facebook Live starting at 12, and you don't need an account. You just go to our Facebook page at Curl News, and you can learn about all sorts of different topics. We have a lot of community partners come in and present for us. We just had one from April Payne of the Virginia Cooperative Extension, who talked about the local eating locally. So using things like the CSA's Community Supported Agriculture, Farmers Markets, the Fredericksburg Food Co-op. Anyway, there's always something to learn. And then if you miss the live viewing, you can just go back to our Facebook page and watch all of the videos.
So are either of you involved? I mean, do you both kind of keep your eye on books coming out and sort of analyze and try to figure out what might be things that people are talking about in books, just so you can make recommendations or you know a little bit about it?
Yeah, I'd say it's a big part of the job to read a lot. but to try to stay on the pulse of, like, especially with teens, like, what are my teen customers going to be looking for? What are they going to be asking for? Yeah. What are they seeing online that they want to read something similar to that? So, yeah, there's lots of reading, not just the books, but also like review sites and other things to try to keep current. Definitely, that's part of it.
I would say in my role, probably not as much in my role since I work in admin, but I do also like to keep up with what's coming out, and I get all sorts of newsletters with links to those reviews, and I get, catalogs of publisher's catalogs that I can peruse and see what's coming out, so I know what people are going to be talking about, and maybe things that I can incorporate into the Book Corner article that I do once a month for the Freelance Star.
And I guess that doing something like that keeps you cutting edge.
Sure.
On what you do.
Yes, I'd like to think so.
So, Sarah, you mentioned just about reading a lot, and I guess you have to.
You do. I mean, if you're going to be a librarian and put the time and the work into it, I doubt that you hate reading. It'd be very concerning if you were a librarian that hated to read in any form. I mean, reading, yes, includes audiobooks. So if you prefer to listen mm-hmm. to your reading content, or if you like graphic novels, prefer graphic novels or manga, all of that is reading. But yeah, you got to love it in all its forms to work at a library. I will say that.
And I'm sure at times you do have to say, I don't know. But I guess another challenge is you don't know. Someone's going to come off the street, or a parent's going to say, what do you recommend? Or about a certain author, what can you tell me? And you want to have some kind of knowledge.
We have lots of resources, especially when it comes to, because I do field a lot of questions from parents, like how appropriate is this for my mm-hmm. child and things like that. I'm reading an entire manga series right now just because one parent was like, well, how appropriate is this for my ninth grader? I'm like, great question. I'll read it and let you know. But there's lots of resources we can use, different websites that review content. A lot of these review sites that we've talked about, places like Publishers Weekly, School Library Journal, Kirkus, these are professional reviewers. So they read the book, they put an estimate of kind of like what age range would be good for it, any content issues that we might need to know about or warn a parent or a family about. So lots of research surrounding the reading as well, definitely. Mm-hmm. But we don't have to know everything.
No,
we
you
are
can't
very good
possibly.
At fi- well, we
and
try.
You can find, yes.
But we're very good at finding the answers to what it is we need.
Yeah. There's no way you could possibly read everything that a customer could come in and ask for. Sure. And I should also say that there is this perception that all librarians do all day is read, and that is absolutely not the case.
Oh man, I wish.
So many things involved in working in a library that a lot of people would be shocked to hear it. And so, no, you just don't picture us sitting behind a desk reading, because it's not what we're doing. I just want to say that, yeah, there are a lot of really great resources that Sarah mentioned that we can put together really great recommendations and not even read the books.
Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and that's in doing those kinds of things. And I think that's the great thing of having you all come in so frequently, that we do learn about a lot of the behind the scenes things that you do, that you don't just sit behind a desk, or when people bring books back, you're, you know, putting them back on the shelves mm-hmm. and that kind of thing. There is a lot to it, and just professionally, what you do.
That's true. Lots of different jobs at the library, but also, yeah, you wear a lot of hats. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of things that I'm like, wow, I never thought this would be part of my job duties, but that's part of the fun, and it's part of the reason we love the library and we love our customers so much.
Yeah, same. I think for me, one example would be, so we have our Library and the Go outreach vehicles, and we have to have them purchased and retrofitted. Mm-hmm. And early on when I started, I had to help identify or work with our outreach team on getting a Tommy Gate lift for one of our vans.
Oh yeah,
and
that
then
thing's awesome.
With the van that we're getting for the Westmoreland.
Yeah.
I had to figure out like the specs of the van and what I needed to retrofit it.
Crazy.
And I had help. I mean, Darcy has set a great precedent, so she did a lot of that work that I could just copy, but I was like, wow, this is an interesting thing for me to do.
How do you keep carts of books from rolling around in the back of a utility van? It is not as easy as it seems. They got to be tied down. They got to be ratcheted down. If you hit the brakes, you don't want it coming through and, you know, into the driver's seat. Mm-hmm. That'd be a disaster for all included. So,
yeah.
You guys are awesome.
Thanks.
You're right, though. I never would have been. Somebody's got to figure that kind of stuff out.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you guys know about, you know, you understand some of that stuff.
And if we don't, we can research it to figure it out.
Yeah,
that's right. Mm-hmm. You know how to do that.
Yes.
Good stuff. We're going to have a lot of stuff going on at the library, and we're going to get into all that this morning with Sarah Smethurst and Tracy McPeck this morning with the Central Rappahannock Regional Library. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
It is the Central Rappahannock Regional Library this morning. Librarypoint.org, the website to get a lot of information that we'll talk about. Tracy McPeck and Sarah Smethurst here from the library. It's easy to get a library card these days. Well, it's always been easy to get a library mm-hmm. card, but it is super easy to get a library card these days.
Yeah, so you could go to any branch to get a library card that's good at all 10 of our branches. You can also go to librarypoint.org/card and fill out the online application, and then you'll be provided with a library number pretty quickly that you can immediately use to access our digital resources such as ebooks and e-audiobooks, and then they'll mail the physical card to your house. And it's a library card sign-up month, too.
I'm pretty sure it is.
It is.
September.
And, yeah.
Because we have our kindergarten library campaign in September.
Yeah, we moved it. Do you want to talk about that?
Oh, yeah. So for the kindergarten library card campaign, basically we provide kindergarten teachers with those sort of links and try to help them get their students to sign up for library cards. We try to get them when they're young, as they say. and we give a free book to any kindergartner that comes in and says, hey, I just got my library card.
Okay.
They can come into our big branches and give them a book to help celebrate. It's pretty great.
What a great idea to just sort of instill in that you get a library card and reading is something you do. And I think sometimes we don't think about that with kids. Get them used to books and being around books young.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, the earlier that you read for fun or read for leisure or see your parents or other adults in your life read for fun, the more likely you will be also a leisure reader when you grow up, which means the more likely you will be ever curious and ever learning. And I think that's pretty good quality for all of us to have.
Definitely.
When we talked about how many books, about reading books is a part of things, and I haven't asked this in a while.
Mm-hmm.
How many books are you guys reading a month or so?
That's always a good question. Depends on how much Netflix I'm binging at the time. And also depends on what I'm reading for. So sometimes I'm reading a lot for work because we're selecting books for Cafe Book, which is a program we do for 7th and 8th graders in all of the local schools. So that takes up a huge chunk of time. Sometimes I just want to read for fun. So it really kind of ebbs and flows.
Or if you're reading somebody like you mentioned earlier. If somebody comes in and says,
an entire
what about
manga
series?
Yes. So. Definitely. So, when you're trying to cram in a lot of reading for a specific topic, you might be reading more. That really depends.
Yeah, for me, it's a little different because I'm not having to constantly read for my role. And since I work in adult services, and I'm not helping customers on the face-to-face with reading recommendations, I read what I want.
Yeah.
And so I would
and
say...
And you listen, too.
I do. I always have one audiobook going and one ebook going at a time. I like ebooks because the print is larger and it's my Kindle's backlit, so at night it's not so dim and I can see it better. I'm getting older. And anyway, so I would say maybe 4 to 6 books a month I read.
Whew.
That's pretty good.
My goal for the year is 75. Last year, I missed it by one book or something. And it's arbitrary. I just make it up. And that's my goal.
two things. Tracy, you were part of, years ago, who got me back to reading. I hadn't read a book in years. And you guys are always coming in. And so now, and then we'll talk about the library fall book sale in that great place as we go along this morning. But no, and you're the one. Last summer I was stuck on a book. I was stuck on this Humphrey Bogart book.
Oh,
I remember.
And I was halfway through it, and it was just, and Tracy said, if you're not having fun, stop reading.
Mm-hmm.
Seems so easy.
He can be a slog sometimes, old Humphrey can.
But
we have to, even with the teenagers, I'm always like, listen, it's okay. Like, when you're reading for fun, it's not a textbook.
Yeah.
If it's not sending you, you can put it down and try something else. No one's here giving you a grade for, book completion or anything like that. So I think sometimes we have to be reminded, if it's not fun, you're not doing it right.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed. I mean, I used to feel like I had to finish every book I started. And I don't feel that way anymore because there are so many, there are way more books than I could read in my lifetime or 50 lifetimes. So why read something that's not really grabbing me?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I have found out, because I'm reading like 3 books right now at a time, and so it does. But it's nice sometimes. They're all different, and it's kind of nice to have a different change. You just look and you say, I think tonight I'll read this.
I can't do that. I'm a one book at a time girl.
Okay.
Oh, I've got a, yeah. So even if I have it on audio, and I'm listening to it in the car, then I'll switch to print, and I'll read it in print or on my phone, depending on where I am. And yeah, I tend to rip through a book, but maybe I'm more of like a binge generation with, you know, an entire Netflix series at once. Mm-hmm. I want to get through an entire book at once. I want to be really like immersed in that.
So anyway, it's a library card. It's September for, what you call it? Library?
It's Library Card Sign Up Month.
Yes.
Library Card Sign Up Month. National Library Card Sign Up Month.
Pretty sure, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So do it.
So do it, yeah.
What's your excuse?
It's free.
It's free.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And it gives you access to so many things, so many services that the library has.
Mm-hmm.
And just have a card.
Yeah. Yeah. I think people are continually shocked about how much we offer. We're not just about books. And just the e-books and e-audio alone, you can save so much money.
And all of the
research and the online learning and all of that.
I'm learning Portuguese.
Nice.
Or attempting to learn Portuguese.
Ooh, say a word.
Through Mango Languages. Oh, I don't. Don't put me on the spot like
right,
that,
fine.
Tracy. yes, I'm going to Brazil next year. So one of the things that is free with your library card is Mango Languages, which is a language learning app, just like Babbel and just like all the other ones. So instead of paying, you know, hundreds of dollars to learn a language, I do it for free.
Yeah. Wow. One of them has ASL. We just learned this yesterday. I think.
Oh, really?
Transparent. We have two platforms, Transparent Languages and Mango Languages. And I think it's Transparent that has ASL.
Cool.
So American Sign Language.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting you mentioned that, because I was sort of interested in trying to learn that.
Oh.
So I'll have
well, there
a
you
look
go. Check it
that.
Out. Yeah.
I'll have a
You'll
look,
have to report
look
back.
Into that. Yeah. Librarypoint.org, again, the website. Another place you can get a lot of information is the At Your Library magazine. That is a great, it's colorful, it's full of stuff, and it's a great resource, letting you know what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's literally lists every class and event we have for all ages, children, teens, and adults. And so if you want to know when our Grower Reader story times are, you can find all of the locations and dates and times. You can find out what the topics of Lunch and Learns are, find out what we're reading in our 20 book groups, and beyond, even more.
Yes. And it's online, but it's also in print. We do a new one every 3 months.
Yeah.
So at the start of September, you'll start to see it in the physical branches. You can pick up a copy there.
Yeah,
and
around town, you see them.
Yeah, absolutely.
All around. So get involved if you want to find out. And there really are. They're really, for all ages, there are all kinds of things always going on at the library. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. It really is. Yeah. And you don't have to have a library card to come to our events. You can just show up.
Right, right. So check that out. The At Your Library magazine. You can get it at the library or other selected places around. We talked a little bit. A lot of author talks.
Mm-hmm.
The library is continuing. I mean, and that just number seems to be growing.
Yeah, that's through the Library of Virginia, right?
No, actually, the Friends of the Friends of Central Rappahannock Regional Library sponsored this for us. We belong to this library speakers consortium.
Yeah.
And through them, they're able to get a lot of really well-known authors and speakers to present virtually. And they have at least a couple a month. Plus, you can go back and watch archived recordings. But if you sign up in advance, you even can do things like submit questions that they may answer during the talk. And if you watch live, you can participate in a chat with other watchers. So we have a couple great ones coming up. One's called Capturing the Human Drama Through History with Garrett Graff. He's a New York Times bestselling author and Pulitzer Prize finalist, and that's happening Tuesday, September 10th. And then Living with an Expansive Mind in a Distracted World by Dr. Nate Klemp. He's the New York Times bestselling co-author of Start Here, Mastering the Lifelong Skill of Well-Being, and that is happening on September 18th. That sounds really interesting. But they cover all sorts of things. Over the summer, they did some children's and teen authors.
Yeah.
A lot of them generally are adult authors, but there'll be some self-help, there'll be fiction. A lot of popular authors that maybe we've discussed in book groups end up being on these author talks. And so you have your chance to hear from famous authors and speakers, and it's wonderful. And thanks to the Friends of the Library, we're able to bring this to everybody.
It's those kinds of things, and that the virtual things that you're able to do that and participate in something like that. Is in the fact you can do it at home, and like you say, if you miss it, you can watch it later.
And having some virtual programming in addition to what's in person makes it more accessible for a lot of people.
Yeah.
So some people, maybe they don't want to drive at night, maybe they can't drive, maybe they have some kind of disability that prohibits them from coming to a branch, but if they can tune in online, then they can also be a part of that. So we're always going to have some virtual programming in addition to the in-person events.
Yeah. I have a cousin that lives a few states away, and earlier this year we attended one of the speaker sessions, and a question that she put in, the author answered, and it was like, wow, this is a big time author, and she's answering my cousin's question live, and I don't know, it was really fun.
That is. Yeah, I mean, you get access to somebody like that you would normally never get to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So keep your eye on those kind of things. You mentioned book groups, Tracy, and I know you were one of years ago. You were one of the first leaders of a book group.
Well, I don't know if I can take credit for that, actually. So I helped moderate the Books and Beer group that meets at Adventure Brewing.
Yeah, that was one of the first that
Sam,
I knew about.
Yeah, Sam Thomason, who's our collection discovery manager, and so she and I run that together. And that actually started by Sam and Christy, who used to be the adult services coordinator before me. So that happened before I started, and then I jumped in and helped out. So we've been meeting. We talked about this recently. It might be as long as 10 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then all of the branches, most of the branches have book groups, and we have other offsite ones. So there's Books and Beer, Books and Wine, Books and Coffee. And so there's something for everybody at different times and days and locations and
whatever your preferred
Beverage. Yeah, and even a couple virtual ones too.
So you can read a book, you can discuss it, and you can get to know people in the community.
Yeah, I'm very fond of the members of my book group because now I've known them for almost 6 years, and they're just all wonderful people.
So how do you pick books? I mean, do you all kind of agree, or do you talk about it, or the leader just says, this is what we're going to do next?
You know, it really depends on the group. So in books, our Books and Beer, Sam and I tend to just pick them based on what we have and what she selected as book group in a bags. But then other members might be like, oh, I think this would make a good book group bag or book group title.
Yeah.
And so then we'll incorporate that. So it's really a mix of what they recommend and what we just find that we think they'll like.
Okay.
Yep.
Librarypoint.org, again, check them out on Facebook, and you'll find about all these different groups and all different things, and get involved with what you can. Tracy McPeck is here. Sarah Smethurst here from the Central Rappahannock Regional Library. Trebuchet, that's how you say it, isn't
that
it?
That is how you say it, yes.
And
it is a French word.
That is what we're going to talk about next. We have, you can't see it, but we're going to make a video of it while Sarah describes it. She has brought in a model, and we're going to get into that when we come back with the Central Rappahannock Regional Library. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:30.
From the Fredericksburg.today online news studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station focused on Fredericksburg. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
It is the Central Rappahannock Regional Library, and this morning, Adult Services Coordinator Tracy McPeck here, Sarah Smethurst is here, the Youth Services Librarian and Teen Specialist at the Howell Branch Library. The time has come, Sarah. Sarah brought for us, and we're doing a video on this, so we'll post it later on, about it's coming up. There is a trebuchet contest. We should first talk about what trebuchet even is.
Yes, if you haven't heard of a trebuchet, you may have heard of a catapult. They are both medieval siege engines. So this is obviously, can fit in this room, so it's a much smaller model than what a real-life trebuchet would have been. But the idea here was to load up the sling with, like, large stones or anything else that can knock down the walls of a castle or a fortified city. And then when everybody's holed up inside and you want to get in, you can just let the counterweight go, which for our counterweight, we have a lovely water bottle filled with sand.
That is nice.
Yes, mm-hmm. And then that will launch your projectile into the walls of the city, or perhaps a dead cow over the walls of the city. A plague victim, if you have one, anything that will help to end the siege a little earlier. So it's a very similar function to the catapult. Catapult has a slightly different mechanism, but otherwise, same sort of idea. And so the way that the trebuchet contest works is we've been doing it on the football field at Gale Middle School for quite a few years now. Largely in part to the Gale Middle School librarian, Nathan Seckinger. He builds these trebuchets with a lot of his students, and he puts tutorials online so you can make your own at home. There are three different class sizes, so if you want to build something this size, you definitely can. If you want to go smaller, popsicle stick trebuchet, perhaps, you could do that. If you want to build a large one that has to be launched, you know, from the ground instead of a tabletop because it's so fancy and expansive, we do have some very enthusiastic adult community members that build these crazy trebuchets with rolling action, and yeah, it's a good time. And then we launch them. We launch them as far as we can, and we also have accuracy contests and, of course, give out awards for most fantastic design. This one's pretty basic, but the ones that the middle school students make especially are festooned with different colors and all sorts of motifs. So, yeah, it's a good time.
What a great project for families and kids to get. I would think kids just love this kind of thing.
Yeah, it's not super technically advanced, so groups of middle schoolers, you know, make many of them every year, but also we have lots of like father-son duos or, you know, all the kids make one together in the family. It's a pretty great time.
So the contest is when?
So the contest happens the very first Saturday of September. And we do it in the morning at the Gale Middle School football field. So now is the time to be building your... Oh, not September. I'm sorry.
I was going to say,
woo, September happens in just a few days. Yes, this is the first Saturday in October. Now is the time to be building and testing your trebuchet if you would like to compete in that.
And Erin, are the videos that you mentioned on our website?
We do have videos on our website, yes. So there's tutorials and like instructions that you can look up. There's also clips and pictures of past trebuchet contests. So yeah, lots of resources there.
I've never seen one in person. And so they're a lot of fun. And like you say, they're really not...
It's
that difficult to build.
It's not that difficult. So you've got a center fulcrum, which is this sort of bar along the top, and then a sling that your golf ball or super ball can go into. And that sling is not attached on one side because you want your projectile, of course, to be able to fly through the air. So you kind of pull back the sling with the projectile in it, and then you let it go. And when you let it go, this counterweight flings the object through the air, hopefully right into the walls of your opponent's castle.
Exactly. That's the purpose of it.
It's the idea.
I'd love to try it in here, but I just don't think if there's
it is
there's
not
too many
an indoor
screens,
activity. Yes.
No, and because of a golf ball, and I don't want to have to explain to
do
my
boss.
Do
you have a concussion protocol at this radio station? Because you may need one if you attempt that. But I'll leave this one with you, and you can play with it in the parking lot if you want.
I would love to play with it.
Yes.
I would love to play with it in here, but again... I just think if there were a screen that got smashed, I'd
they
be
may
paying
not be too
for
happy.
It. And it would, no, but so, but say we did. So let's pretend we're out in the parking lot and we let it go. How far would it go?
Ooh, good question. It really depends on your projectile. So we give the adults golf balls to fire with theirs, but for safety, we give like middle, high school, anybody younger, they use super balls because sometimes you can, you know, fire it backwards and we don't want a golf ball in the face. But you can easily go a couple hundred feet with these guys if you know what you're doing. If you practice enough. So you'll have to practice with it.
I guess
and let us know what your record is.
Yeah. I would think something like this would be really competitive too.
It can be. Yeah. I mean, we, you know, we keep it fun. We keep it light. We keep it silly, honestly. But yeah, it can be competitive, especially when it comes to distance, because that's kind of the big one, right? How far can you launch this thing? So
Just to have that in your office would be great, but I can already tell, knowing the people I work around, I think I'm going to hide the golf ball.
Yeah, maybe a good idea. Maybe I should have brought you a Super Bowl.
Yeah, for safety reasons. Yeah.
But that is really fun. And do you need to sign up in advance?
No, you do not need to sign up in advance.
Show up.
Yep, just show up with your trebuchet. Of course, we suggest you bring your trebuchet to the trebuchet contest. But no, you can sign up. It's all on our website. If you go librarypoint.org/trebuchet, which is TREBUCHET. It is a French word. Sorry about that. Or you can go librarypoint.org/launch-it. So launch-IT. That'll get you to the same site, and all the instructions are on there. There are requirements and restrictions for your trebuchet. It cannot, for instance, be powered by anything explosive. These are gravity machines only, essentially. Yeah. We don't want anything exploding on us. But there's rules for, like, the different dimensions, depending on which class you'd like to enroll your trebuchet, and, of course, when you need to show up by. But spectators are always welcome. We'll keep you behind the firing line for safety. Don't you worry about that. And it's a good time to be had by all.
And there's prizes, too.
There are prizes,
so there are, there's the Page class, which is pre-K to age 5. The Squire class is grades 6 through 12. And the Knight class is for college and adult teams. And the prizes are sponsored by the Friends of the Library.
Yes, excellent. Mm-hmm. And the classes are kind of like size-based as well as age-based. So mm-hmm. if you are in kindergarten, but you want to build a siege machine that is, you know, larger than a couple feet, you can do that. And then you can enter yours into, you know, the night class and compete with the big dogs. So
I would guess that for kids, especially, to do something like this, you learn about how this works. So you learn a little bit of science, but also you learn history whenever you come and, you know, you're talking about castles and battles and those kinds of things. You can sort of picture that.
Yeah, the medieval history aspect is really fun. I'm a medieval kind of geek. So this is always very fun, and we, you know, blow a bugle and yell, launch it, and all that jazz. So yes, it's pretty fun, but there's also, of course, lots of physics involved and a little bit of construction and things like that. So
it's always fun because you're the second one, because Craig would come in here from the library, and he never brought me this is the first time I've ever seen one.
Oh, that you've seen one. Oh.
Yeah, so this is great.
Yeah, this has been happening for many years. Mm-hmm. Many, many years. And it's kind of multidisciplinary in approach, but also, like, it's for adults and for kids. Mm-hmm. So I work on this at Howell along with the adult services librarian, Eric. And then we have someone else in our technical services who actually knows how to build these things. John is a great help there. And then, of course, with Mr. Seckinger over there at Gale Middle School, who hooks us up every year.
What a fun thing.
I know. Yeah. Can't wait to see the video online.
I know. No. I'm going to look more into this. If I'm around that weekend, I might have to come over and just see what it's all about.
Yeah, it's pretty great. I have a megaphone out in the field, so yeah.
Nice.
I'll be dressed in medieval garb with a megaphone and...
Boy, you guys really
screaming,
do
screaming, launch it.
Yeah.
Yes, it's great. Oh, Eric had a bugle one year, and he'd go like, burr, 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 every time. Yeah, it was fantastic.
Librarypoint.org, and check out Facebook for all kinds of information for Launch It, the Trebuchet Contest, first weekend in October.
Yes, indeed.
Is when that takes place. Another contest, the Teen Stop Motion Video Contest. That is another thing.
That's me too.
That is another thing that is... It's fascinating to see what these kids do and how difficult and precise stop motion is.
Yes, stop motion is very finicky. So when I think stop motion, I think like the old Rankin and Bass Christmas movies, the claymation ones mm-hmm. that you grew up on, that's stop motion.
Yeah.
So you have a clay model and you essentially take a still picture of your model in one pose and then you move it just a little bit. And take another picture, and then move it just a little bit, and take another picture. So it's very time-consuming and very finicky, but then you string all of those pictures together, you get yourself like a 30-second or so long clip, and all of a sudden you have animation, and you have movement, and then you add music, and you add, the script to it, and the things that these teens come up with every single year. I'm like, how did they think of that? How did they do that? How does it look so good? And you're in sixth grade. It's ridiculous. But you can see all of the videos for past award winners on our website as well. And I definitely think you should check that out because you'll be shocked.
Oh, they are. They're amazing. And it's like you described it well because it is. It's so time consuming, but it is fun.
Yeah. But all you need is a camera or a phone.
Yep.
So in terms of what you need to make it happen, very low. But you got to have a lot of imagination and a little bit of patience and you'll create something amazing. And we'll give you money for it. So
if you win,
you get cash prizes.
When is that?
So we accept submissions for that October 1st through the 15th.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then we have two judges who are professors of animation. So Megan Rivas, who works at Germana, is an animation professor there. And we also have a Mary Washington professor who does animation. So they review all of our submissions blind. So they don't know, who made what. And then they award the prizes and we announce them and have a little viewing party at the start of November. So. Yeah,
and the viewing party is Thursday, November 14th from 6 to 7 at the Howell Branch. And again, the prizes for this are supported by the Friends of the Library.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes, indeed.
Really good stuff.
I know.
Really, really, really interesting stuff. Homeschool Open House. What is that all about?
Yeah. Homeschool Open House. Sarah. Doing that too.
This is Sarah has just quietly taken
she's on
over.
Fire.
Yes, okay. Homeschool Open House, unlike kids who go to like a traditional school who are back at school already, they already had their open houses. So when the parents can come and walk around the school, the kids can see their classes, they can meet their teachers. Homeschoolers don't get that. But a lot of homeschoolers, if you're in the know, you use the library a lot for research purposes and to have a place to go do your schooling during the day sometimes. So this year we are opening up I think each of our big branches is having a homeschool open house. So you can come in during that time. We'll kind of walk you through the different things that the library has to offer specifically for homeschoolers and homeschool families.
Good idea.
And this is something that we do at the request of our homeschool customers who want the same sort of experience that they might get at school. So this is a direct answer to that. You wanted it, you got it. Homeschool open house.
No, that's that is a great idea because if you don't, we've talked about these things, but especially as a homeschooler, if you're depending on your library.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things that the library offers. I mean, every month you all walk out of here and I'm like, I didn't know about that.
Mm-hmm. We always surprise you.
Yeah,
that's right.
So this is kind of like meet your teacher night, but it's with the library to just show you.
Meet
show
your librarian.
You around.
Meet your librarian. Exactly. So all the things that you have access to, if you're doing online research, I'll run through all the databases that you can use for that. Where to find different things in the library. How to use a meeting room so your homeschool co-op can meet and have Lego Club like they do at the Howell Library or whatever else your heart desires and. Good time.
Mm-hmm.
We'll wrap this up. We'll talk about African American genealogy and then the Friends of the Library fall book sale. All of that coming up with Tracy McPeck and Sarah Smethurst this morning with the Central Rappahannock Regional Library. We will be right back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Great stuff this morning with the Central Rappahannock Regional Library. Sarah Smethurst here, the Youth Services Librarian and the Teen Specialist at the Howell Library in Stafford, and Tracy McPeck is the Adult Services Coordinator. We always need to have an adult in the room.
Oh, yeah. Somebody has to keep an eye on you all. Yeah.
Not me.
It's good that you're here. Before we talk about the book sale, African American genealogy, what's that all about?
Yeah, so we there are a lot of resources that we can help point people to for genealogical research, and this one is going to focus on African American genealogy specifically. Finding resources to research ancestors including those who are enslaved, which can be really challenging. And so that's going to be Thursday, September 5th from 3 to 4 at the Howell Branch. Customers can come and learn about all of the resources that the library has, but also resources that are freely available to help with some of this research.
Yeah, Joy mm-hmm. O'Toole at the Howell Branch is presenting that, and she is just a wizard when it comes to genealogical research, and she really knows her stuff. So yeah. She has traced, essentially, as far as she can, the specific genealogical lineage of a prominent local Fredericksburg man.
Yeah.
And so she'll kind of go through her process and show you how she tracked down his information and that of his family, including having to look at property records, because back when he was alive, he was considered, you know, something to be bought and sold for part of his life. So how to find his information and trace his information through things like that. So it's going to be a really, really cool presentation. She super knows her stuff, and it's fascinating to watch her talk about it.
That's very cool. You made it even more interesting just talking about the real example that she's going to be using.
Yeah. It's interesting. Mm-hmm. So you can not only is it interesting, you may pick up some tips for doing your own genealogical research.
Yep.
So, good stuff there. The Friends of the Library Fall Book Sale is coming up. The Friends of the Library bookstore over on Lafayette Boulevard, it's addictive, I'll just say. I have so many piles of books.
Once we get you in, it's hard to get out without something added to your collection.
We're your book pushers.
And yes, no, I do truly blame Tracy, you and Darcy for pushing it over the years, because I have a car full of books right now that have to go back to open up space for this fall book sale. When is the fall book sale?
Yes, it is October 21 through the 21st through the 26th at the Friends of the Library Center and Bookshop. That is in the old Greenwich Center off of Lafayette Boulevard. And it is, you can get great deals and gently used books, movies, and more during these big book sales. So we have a bookshop there that's open 10 to 2 Monday through Friday, where you can get great deals year-round on awesome, all sorts of items. A lot of times people will donate things that look brand new. You can buy gifts there.
Yeah.
And then during the big book sales, they open up the warehouse, which is basically extra discounted items. It can be library discards or other materials that they just wanted to get rid of at a cheaper rate. And so when you come in for the fall book sale, you not only get to shop the regular storefront, but you get access to the whole warehouse as well. And
basically like Candyland.
Oh, pretty much. Especially for
Ted. Yes, it is. It's a good way to put it.
Yeah. And the great thing about the Friends of the Library is that they support a lot of the things the library does. So that's how we're able to provide cash prizes for the Teen Stop Motion Video Contest, the Library Speakers Consortium Virtual Author Talks, outreach to area teachers. They sponsor Music on the Steps. So they're a crucial part of our library system. Or not part of our system, but a supporter of us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, they are. They're great books. And they're all, you find new and you find old. I've heard books that are new talked about on the radio, and then you go in there and you see that there's that book.
Yeah.
And, you know, the inventory changes all the time because people are constantly donating items to us. And so as they sell and get replenished, it's always changing. You can find brand new books, brand new DVDs, music. Sometimes you'll find rare items, like maybe an autographed book. So it's like a treasure hunt. It's fun.
It is. Mm-hmm. I like to collect weird cookbooks.
Nice.
So sometimes I'll go and try to find like the strangest, most niche cookbook that I can. And there's always something good.
Ooh.
Yeah. So again, October 21st through the 26th.
Mm-hmm.
And you get great sales. And even if you don't do the book sale, you're still going to get good sales. And you're helping, like you say, the Friends of the library.
Absolutely. And most of our branches have little mini bookshops set up within them. And so you can always peruse some books from that are donations that you can buy. And they'll occasionally have pop-up sales in the atrium or the hallway of their branches as well.
Good stuff. Thank you both. And I now have a trebuchet.
Yes, you do.
That's my very own.
Fingers crossed that he's on the radio tomorrow and hasn't taken out an eyeball.
I know. The golf ball is a worry. But again, the Trebuchet Contest, first weekend in October, if you want to get involved with that. LibraryPoint.org to keep up with everything, or also on Facebook. Tracy McBeck and Sarah Smethers, thank you both for coming in.
Thank
you. It's good to see
you.
Anytime.
Me too.
And we'll talk again soon. Thank you.
Thanks.
That is it. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk Podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.